On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Time for another Austin Matthews is currently on pace for update. Austin Matthews is currently on pace to be way the hell better than Jack Eichel. How's it going, everybody? Matthew Robinson with you once again. Not sure why I just used my own full name. Typically more of a Matt guy. I really only get Matthew when I'm in trouble. Yes, at 33 years old, sometimes that still happens. Anyway, welcome to Unforced Errors, number 34. Second show of the day. Lucky you. Or the complete opposite of that. Really all depends on your perspective. Answered a little bit of, answering fan mail might be overstating it a little bit. No one said he was a fan and it didn't come by mail. But on Unforced Errors number 33, answered a question we received at the @TallCanSports Twitter account. And had a little conversation on what the Leafs might be looking to do trade-wise in the second half. Three names specifically asked about: JVR, Kadri, and Bozak. So we had a little conversation about that on 33. You can find that at tallcanaudio.com or on your favorite podcast app. I'd be curious to know what that is. You can let us know at tallcanaudio. I'm always... Some of these apps have interesting features. I know some of you like this. I can't really wrap my head around it, but you can crank up the speed as you're listening to a podcast, which I do understand the idea of wanting to spend as little time listening to me as possible, but it kind of makes you sound like a chipmunk, and you blow through whatever's being said at twice the speed, get all the content, I guess, but I don't know. It's a strange way to listen to a podcast to me. I was going to talk a little bit about tonight's Leafs game. Another loss, this one 3-2 to the Anaheim Ducks. And we may touch on that at the end. But I did want to start with this new knockoff. Remember the HBO 24/7 Road to the Winter Classic series? When it first started, man, it was cutting edge. And it was awesome. Right in the dressing rooms. I guess it started as a boxing thing. I'm not a boxing guy, so I don't really know. And these types of shows now have popped up in all kinds of sports. UFC does a good job with their version of it. We've seen other sports go into it as well. But HBO seemed to really be the innovator, at least to my knowledge. No doubt I'll hear on Twitter that long before HBO started their 24/7 series on even boxing, someone else was doing it and they ripped it off. It might be true. To my knowledge, this was the first really, you know, high-end, well-known, well-respected version of it, and certainly to cover the NHL when they got there. And they did some great stuff with it. And eventually it went away. I don't know if it just ran its course or the NHL became too ridiculous to deal with. You'll recall there was a lockout that canceled a Winter Classic. The Leafs and Red Wings were supposed to take place during the 2012-2013 season. Then, of course, there was Gary's, third lockout? It's got to be some kind of record. Good for you, man. And so it was postponed a year. That would have left a hole in HBO's scheduling that they probably weren't too impressed with. They still have a contract, and they ended up doing Detroit-Toronto the next year when that game eventually did get played. And I think there was one more after that. And I don't know the exact reasons why it stopped, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out that, hey, you're not particularly reliable, so we don't want to deal with you, maybe having something to do with it. It's one thing to tell NBC, who is paying you nothing at the time to carry NHL games, that you're not going to have any games this year, because quite honestly, they'll show a rerun of Friends that's going to draw as many viewers. And Canada, the complete opposite is true, that we're so crazy for it, you can take off 2-3 years and we'll be back. So your hardcore fans or your own TV deals, they're kind of locked in. HBO goes, you know what? We're kind of doing you a favor here and giving you this exposure, and you disappeared on us. So fuck you. Anyway, I'm sure there was a lot more to it than that, but absolutely, I believe that was a contributing factor. So now they're back with Epix, I believe it's Epix. I've heard it pronounced both ways today. Producing a very similar show, to the point you might want to call it a knockoff. Also to the point where your voiceover guy, not the same guy, but sounds damn close. Like you badly wanted people to think this was the same thing. And it wasn't bad. I watched the first episode, but it's cheese. And part of it, man, this was the other thing I wanted to touch on the old HBO one before I move on from that. HBO stopped allowing it to be shown on, HBO used to obviously show it on HBO in the United States and HBO Canada up here. Sportsnet, the NHL strike a deal that it won't be shown on HBO Canada. It in up, you know, here north of the border, it'll be shown on Sportsnet, which means it'll be chopped to shit so that you can show it on network television. No swearing, you know, certain things have to be cut. And I get it. On network TV, you can't have as many F-bombs being thrown around as what happens on NHL ice. But you know what maybe that means? This isn't a show for you! Why? Why would you pick this up and butcher it and tear the heart out of it and then put your own shitty version of it out? And that's exactly what Sportsnet did, and the NHL allowed it. God damn it. I know it was a couple of years ago, but it still gets me upset. Like, you took the show, took out one of the things that made it special was being able to hear exactly what was being said on the ice. Well, we can't have that because what's being said on the ice might be bad. And then let Sportsnet throw their own bastardized version of it out there. And it sucked. And it's commercials jammed into it, and it's all censored and whatever. It was trash to the point where I didn't watch it on Sportsnet. I gave it like 2 episodes, went, this is terrible, and started waiting a day or two and downloading it illegally online. Can you believe it? I stole a TV show. It was right there on my TV for free. I could watch it, and I chose to wait and go through the hassle of probably getting a virus on my computer. That's how bad it was when Sportsnet started showing it. I don't know what the point was. Well, I know exactly what the point was. Money. Give me more money. We need money. And I understand that's how a business works. But not every show works on network television. Not every show works on cable television. One of the things that makes HBO and Showtime different is that they allow a certain amount of whatever. Sportsnet has kids watching them, so they can't allow it. Well, then maybe this isn't the show for you. But they tried to make it the show for them, and they ruined it. So that's where we start here. I don't know if there's an original Epix version in the United States that leaves the swearing in. And I'm not one of these guys who goes, it's not a good show without swearing. But it's irritating when every minute or two, the sound just disappears. You know exactly what he's saying. Let me tell you the one that was the worst tonight. They censored out Mike Babcock screaming at his team, we need to get pissed off. I get that there's certain things you can't put out on network television, but you can't say pissed. NBC reruns of Friends say pissed, to circle back. Oh, it's just terrible. So I don't know whether that's an Epix thing. I doubt it. I'm sure that's another Sportsnet thing, and I don't know if I'll watch any more of this crap. Here's the other part of it that makes it cheese. It's called Road to the Outdoor Classics. Yes, that's classics with an S. I know that doesn't seem like a big deal, but one of the things about a classic is that it's rare. These aren't rare anymore. Maybe that's another reason HBO jumped out. Hey, we were helping you develop this show, Road to the NHL Winter Classic, and now you've got like six of them. The Stadium Series and the Heritage Classic. The Heritage Classic outdoor game in Vancouver was played indoors. It's like telling people in Toronto, hey, your outdoor game's going to be at the Dome with the roof closed. So basically you just want me to come and sit further away and to charge me three times what you can at the ACC. At the ACC, of all places. Not special. And they're doing their damnedest to water these down. I'll be open. I got tickets to the Centennial Classic in Toronto. Red Wings and Maple Leafs on New Year's Day. I probably wouldn't have bothered if it wasn't the Leafs Centennial. I'm excited to go. I was at the Winter Classic in Ann Arbor when the Red Wings hosted the Leafs a couple of years ago. It was a lot of fun. And it was special. 100,000 people. I don't believe yet that they'd started doing like six of these a year. The NHL's already done one of these this year. Did you know that? Most of you don't. In Winnipeg, in like October. So they don't seem all that special anymore. And it definitely doesn't sound special when you say Road to the Outdoor Classics. So that, of course, alludes to the Centennial Classics. Classic. I've got multiple classics on my mind. Leafs and Red Wings. And the Winter Classic. Blackhawks and Blues. For those of you not aware, this is the St. Louis Blues' 50th birthday. There are other teams also celebrating their 50th anniversary this year that are, I don't know, selfishly as a Leaf fan, and we covered this previously, 100 is more than 50, and so a team turning 100 years old you would think should get more than the Centennial Classic. The Habs had literally everything you could come up with. The draft, the All-Star game. I assume they hosted the AHL referee clinic. Literally everything. So this is the only thing the Leafs are getting. And then the standard Winter Classic, that's usually on New Year's Day, has been moved a day or two back. And again, that couldn't be any more transparent. The one with the Canadian team is on New Year's Day because American television doesn't want to go up against, you know what happens on New Year's Day. It's college football, big time. So I'm sure NBC's planning to show some of this, maybe NBC Sportsnet. Yeah, this will be the cute one that we let Canada have. And then the Winter Classic, they'll put up against nothing. So it's just another case of the NHL not believing in its own product and shying away from it. But again, that's what this show now is about. So instead of covering two teams heavily in depth, we cover four and we just kind of loosely paint through things. And that's really what I noticed on this first one. You don't have time to really tell any story. You got twice as many teams to cover. It's not that it wasn't well put together. If I didn't know any better, aside from the cursing thing, which Sportsnet was going to do no matter who produced it, it didn't look that much different than HBO's version. Other than the fact that you couldn't get too in-depth on anything. You got like a quarter of the in-game footage, which, like I said, was the big draw on HBO. They got guys mic'd up, and there's tussles, and there's captains both talking to the referees. I can remember Sidney Crosby, Dion Phaneuf talking to a referee, and Crosby calling Kadri a little shit or something like that. You know he's a dirty piece of shit. And Phaneuf just kind of going, yeah, well. I don't remember the exact foot, but those of you who watched that one will remember it. It was pretty good. That's all had to be cut out. Because heaven forbid we don't tell the story of Ken Hitchcock's last season over in the other game. Or a staged Henrik Zetterberg closed door meeting. And don't even try to tell me that wasn't staged. What did he say in that? Do you think that's what an NHL closed door meeting looks like? They have this big dramatic scene where he's closing the locker room doors and the media is not allowed in. Oh, except these cameras. Oh, we'll allow these ones in because the league says we have to. That is not what a real closed-door meeting looks like in high-end sports, where he basically says nothing but cliche to his teammates. I get that's what they say to the media. That's not how teammates talk to each other in high-end sport, where he's just sitting there going, you know, if we played hard and lost, that'd be okay, but we didn't play hard, and it starts in the next one, and it's going to be too late. We need these points. There's not one part of me that thinks that was sincere. And I'm not saying that they staged exactly what he was going to say and that he had a script. But I absolutely think that meeting happened and was set up that way for the show. That's reality TV. Anyone who sits and watches reality TV and thinks it's loosely based on reality is crazy. No one is scripted, but they set up moments. And if you go back and you watch that Henrik Zetterberg closed-door meeting, and then you want to come and tell me that that's what you think a closed-door meeting looks like, that's an impassioned plea from a captain telling his team to get it going, then by all means. But I'm not buying that for a second. That was terrible. Man, that couldn't have been any more staged. Good Lord. The big dramatic scene. Oh, the doors are closing. Completely set up. You think the camera would just happen to be there in that position at that time as he comes by? And give me a break. And I'm not saying other parts of it. It's not a Detroit thing. Maybe there was some set up Leaf stuff too. Maybe, like, it's not about the team. It's just about what kind of show is being produced here. Maybe that was a factor with HBO. The NHL wanted more control, wanted things to look more positive. Not a single curse in Henrik Zetterberg's address to his team either. Maybe he's just a clean guy. I don't know him. But I know what a locker room sounds like. I know rarely do you get to stand up and give an uninterrupted 6-minute monologue without someone cheering or disagreeing or yelling or... Man, like, it was just terrible. So, that was episode one. I'm hard-pressed to think I'm going to watch episode two. TheLeafsNation.com. Check that out if you're at all interested. And you can skip the fluff. Well, not all of it. But they've cut and pasted and just grabbed the Leafs parts. So you can check out TheLeafsNation.com if all you're interested is the scenes about the Maple Leafs. And that's a good place that you can at least do that if you're only interested in that much. Let's check in on the Leafs for a second instead of just terrible TV shows that they're involved with. I was going to talk a little bit about the game, but I ended up talking more about this show than I planned to. And I don't want this to get too long. And honestly, it's kind of becoming a broken record that the Leafs play well and get shut down by an awesome goalie. And no excuses, because you hear that way too often, that the Leafs deserved better, and that they, you know what, the goalies are part of the fucking team, and Anderson's playing well too to keep them in it, and Gibson was awesome tonight, so Anaheim wins. Zach Hyman's selfish as fuck penalty in the third period notwithstanding. Let's check in on just a couple of numbers, though. Auston Matthews now on pace for 40 goals. I received the most ridiculous message on Twitter late last week that I maybe have ever gotten. At that time, Matthews was only on pace for a lousy 36 goals. It said that if you took away Matthews' 4 goals on opening night, he was only on pace for 29 goals. Now, in September, if you'd have told me Auston Matthews was going to score 29 goals this year, I'd have taken it. It's a pretty good rookie season. But that is ridiculous as shit logic. They all count. Like, if this is the game you want to play, then we have to take away Laine's best game. And so he's on that. He has a hat trick in game his first or second game of the season. It was really early, too. It looked like he was going to match Matthews there. Now, he's currently 3 goals ahead of Auston Matthews. He's also played 3 more games than Matthews. But I think at this point, most of us would agree that it looks like Laine is going to be an all-time great sniper. Maybe better at that particular skill than Matthews. But Matthews is going to be the better player. I'm sold on that much. But if we take away Laine's hat trick in game 2 of the season, then he's not on pace for nearly as much either, is he? I don't have that exact number in front of me right now. I know he has 18 goals in 34 games, while Auston Matthews has 15 goals in 31 games. So it just blew my mind to sit and go, yeah, but if you took away 4, yeah, then he'd have less. That's basic mathematics. So he's at 15 goals in 31 games. He has now pulled even with all-time Leafs superstar David Clarkson with goals scored as a Maple Leaf. Auston Matthews did it in 31 games. David Clarkson did it in presumably cinder blocks for skates and is no longer with the team. Somehow Columbus took that terrible contract from us, and we've covered that before. We won't do it again. But thank you, Jarmo Kekalainen. So, yeah, on pace for 40 goals, not bad, right? I told you a second ago I would have been happy with 29. I don't think he's getting 40. I think he's going to cool off. I think rookies hit the wall somewhere in the spring, but he's doing all right. Patrick Laine scored a pretty sweet goal the other day and remarked to Finnish media that if he gets that set up in that position 100 times, he's scoring 99 out of 100 time, and his stick will break once. It's not a bad line. Of course, there's some people up in arms that he would be that arrogant, I guess. I don't particularly care. We've had this conversation before. Rob and I argue all the time on Tall Can Sports about talking to the media. Phil Kessel was a boring interview. Who gives a shit? I'm going to go off on a little side note here just for a second, because this just came back to mind now that I've mentioned his name. If you were at the Air Canada Centre on Saturday night booing Phil Kessel, why don't you shove your own head up your ass and walk out of the building so someone who understands the game can have the seat? What is wrong with you? Give me one good reason to boo Phil Kessel. Led the team in points every year that he was here. Did not ask to be traded. Like, I get when guys demand to be traded and they come back and you go, ooh, I'm going to shake my fist at you for not liking my town. That's not what happened. He wanted to be here and they wanted to get rid of him. And I don't necessarily think that was the worst decision. Although, really, Kasperi Kapanen is seemingly all that they got in that deal at this point. We'll see what he turns into be. But it's not like he wanted out. And then when he won the fucking Stanley Cup, do you know what he did with it? Quietly? Yeah, he came back and he had a party in Toronto with it, because that's where his friends are now. He also showed up at Sick Kids with it. Doesn't have to do that, man. He's got charities and commitments and shit now in Pittsburgh. I have no idea what possible... I get it. Not everybody loved him when he was here. But it's not Vince Carter. Man, Toronto sports fans just have this fucking thing that... Oh, you used to be here and now you're not here anymore, so ooh, I hate you. Fucking stupid. Like I said, if you were one of them, shove your own head up your own ass. And leave. Because clearly you don't understand what happened in the sports world around you. Anyway, that's a whole other... That's a whole other thing. And I'm getting all wound up. And it's almost bedtime. I can't be this upset going to bed. Some other numbers. Leafs have now, in 31 games, Leafs rookies have contributed 103 points in 31 games this season. Leafs rookies, over the last three seasons combined, also 103 points. So 3 years of Leaf rookies put up 103 points. 31 games of this crop of rookies, 103 points. It's not bad. Last stat I want to throw at you here is currently Leaf rookies at 103 points. First in the league for rookie scoring. And I get it. This is a fairly niche category. But it does show how well the kids are doing. Second, Winnipeg Jets, 42 points. They have 42 rookie points, and the Leafs have 103. Rangers are third at 40 points. Now, again, some of this makes the Leafs actually sound a little laughable, that how little the veterans are doing in comparison to the kids, how bad they must have been to have this many rookies in the lineup at once, but it's still a mind-blowing number. More than doubled the second place team. So, just a couple of interesting numbers after 31 games this season I thought I would throw out there at you. Like I said, I was going to get into the game a little bit, but, you know, we've covered some things here. And like I said, it's kind of a broken record, but the Leafs did play well tonight. Matthews had a great game, 8 shots on goal. That's the most he's had so far this season. They battled back to tie it up at 2. And then Zach Hyman took a shitty retaliation. Now, he had gotten mugged, but he takes a terrible penalty. Gauthier comes out and loses a draw clean to Kessler, fires it back to Fowler, who hammers it home, and that's the game, 3-2. With how well Gibson had played, they were lucky to get that second one, and once Anaheim got the third, that was it. So the Leafs played pretty well. Probably good enough to get a win, but that's not how sports works. And I'm not going to sit here like some of these commentators and say they deserved a win. If they deserved a win, they would have had it. You can't take 5-6 penalties, 3 in the first period, against the league's second best power play and live to tell about it. Because even if you kill them off, you are worn the fuck out. And they didn't kill them all off. And people are saying the Getzlaff goal was lucky. Yeah, it was. But sometimes you get lucky on the power play. You get a little extra space. And I don't think he meant to bank it off two guys and into the net. But he had the room to step out and get the shot. So this is one of those things where the Leafs have tons of talent, but they're learning how to play. And I kind of said at the beginning of the season, if they play exciting hockey all year and keep losing, I'm all in. We'll get one more decent draft pick. And we'll head north next year. But once you start to see some talent, see some success, you get greedy, man. You want to see those wins. And they're not out of it. And when you see them beat Pittsburgh on a Saturday night, granted on a back-to-back, you want to see them follow it up. Now they're going on the road just before Christmas, and I have seen this team struggle just before Christmas. It's not fair to compare them to previous years. But I do think there's something about this market. I was in Toronto the night they got just smashed by Dallas on like the 22nd or 23rd of December. Might have been like 2010. And it was like a 7-1 game. It was terrible. So this would have been a great win This would have been a good one to at least get points out of. Everyone was happy with that Pittsburgh win on Saturday. But earlier in that week, you've lost to Colorado at home and Arizona at home. That's a bad look. You win even one of those and then the Pittsburgh game. You lose to San Jose in a shootout. And even if you'd have lost to Anaheim in a shootout, you've had a pretty good homestand. For a team like this, right? A young team. But instead, they don't beat Colorado. They don't beat Arizona. They don't beat San Jose. And the Pittsburgh win is kind of irrelevant. It was the same thing I said last weekend. You win in Boston, a great road victory against a team that you struggle against, and then come home and shit the bed against Colorado. That big win in Boston doesn't mean anything if you lose to a terrible team the next night. So it was the same thing this week. Beat Pittsburgh on a Saturday, but those games you lost earlier in the week kind of render that irrelevant. All you did was make up for the win you should have already had. So Leafs kind of a mixed bag at this point. I was going to talk World Juniors tonight. We'll save that probably for tomorrow. This is long enough. That's been Unforced Therapy. Fuck. I need to get out of here. I can't even talk. This has been Unforced Errors number 34. My name, if I can pronounce it, is Matt Robinson. Have yourselves a great day.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.